Thank you for tuning into the Walk in Truth Radio Network broadcast. Grab your Bible, get settled, and let's walk through the Word of God together. Let us now reason together and listen to see what God is saying to us today.
Praise God. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. This is truly the day the Lord has made. Let us
rejoice and be glad in it.
Come on,
praise God. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us
rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen. We thank God today for the opportunity to come worship our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Sometimes we take for granted that we have such a good God. And he's such an awesome God. He gives us our breath. He gives us our life. And he gives us the Holy Spirit. So today, we just want to thank him today.
Yes.
Because he's such an awesome God.
Yes, he is.
The fact that we live in a world that's full of turmoil right now should discourage you. It should encourage you. Because you are the light unto the world.
Amen.
And as the world gets darker, you get brighter. And you can shine in places that you never thought you'd shine before. Let me tell you something, saints of God. Somebody's watching you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Somebody sitting back quietly, got their hands on their chin, and they watching you. They're wondering, will you continue to shine the light no matter how bad it gets?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're wondering, will you have a kind word when everybody else is saying evil things? They're wondering whether you will be the one who, when they're down, that you will be willing to pick them up when everybody leaves them alone.
Mm.
That's who we are. We are the Navy SEALs of God. We go places nobody else will go.
Mm.
Because we're fueled by the power of the Holy Spirit. We know what God has done for us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me put it this way. I know what God has done for me.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to make it personal. I know what God has done for me. I could stand before you, not before you to speak, but stand before you if God hadn't done what he done for me. Because God saw fit. I didn't deserve anything. What I deserved, he didn't give me.
Mm-hmm.
But what he wanted to give me, nobody could keep away from me. That's the God we serve. It's not based upon anything other than his will and his glory.
Yes.
I know there's times where we feel that, oh, God, I'm going through something, and I keep asking that question of why, and I'm telling you it's why because you're here.
Amen.
If there was no obstacles, there'd be no glory.
Come on.
If there was no mountains to climb, there would be no reason to go forward. If there's nothing in front of you to conquer, how can you be more than a conqueror? Mm-hmm. You're asking the wrong question. It's not the why, it's the what God is trying to show you that's in you that he gave you, which was the power to be an overcomer.
Yes.
Amen.
Some things he won't get rid of, saints.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at the point in my ministry, in my mind, in my walk with God, I just got to tell you guys the truth. There are some things that are left in your life because God knows that if he took it away, you'd walk away.
Mm-hmm.
He knows you better than you know yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you sit there want things taken away. Sometimes you just ask God, help me endure the thing.
Yes.
Your grace is sufficient.
Yes, it is.
I don't need you to do nothing miraculous. Do it in me. So that I can endure this thing, so I can climb that mountain, so I can go through the valley of darkness, so I can go through the valley of death, so I can look beyond myself and see the good in others. I choose to see the good in everybody else because I already know the bad is there. So why harp on the bad when I can say, you know what, despite of who you are and what they say you are and maybe what you're doing, God still loves you. How much does God love you? He gave something that you could never give. It was his son. So thank you today, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for just being God. All by yourself.
Amen.
None beside you. None in front of you. And we sure walk hand in hand with you. God has been so good. I could go and just talk about God off the top of my head. That's how good he's been to me.
Amen.
I don't really need no scripture. I just need to know that God is good. I just need to know he's a savior. I just know he's a redeemer. I know that he's the adopter of wayward children. I know that he's a way maker. I know God is the door, the life, the water, the blood, the salvation. I know that God is there. See, you ain't got to tell me no more, because I've experienced that walk with God. And the walk with God has nothing to do with what I'm going through. The walk with God is above what I go through. I'm looking at things through the lens of God. It's like coming back into St. Louis and you're looking at the arch. And if you was down at the arch, you was in front of the arch, and you stood at the base of the arch and looked up, it would make you dizzy. Because it's swaying back and forth with the wind. And you can't even see the top if you stand at the base. Because it only goes up so far and it starts curving. But somehow or another, when we're flying in from places all over the world and all over the United States, you start flying and they loop around, they start coming in, heading west. And you look down and you see the arch. And if you put your fingers up, you can put the arch inside your fingers. You see the top and the bottom. What am I trying to say, saints? Has the arch changed its height? No. What changed is my position to observe its height. What I'm trying to point out to you, if you look at things through God's eyes, all things become small. They may be big when you're dealing with it, but when you raise above the fray, when you raise above people trying to give you advice that ain't no advice, when you raise above the life coaches and the therapists that really keep you messed up. Because all you do is sit and rehash your issues every day, every week, for an hour. You rehash and rehash and rehash it. What happened to the God is my strength? What happened to I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? I got the best psychologist in the whole world. It's the God that made me. He knows my mind. That person sitting next to me just telling me is just like me. They can't deliver themselves. So why do I need, I'm not saying don't get counseling, but realize you got the wonderful counselor. The problem is you want him to play into what you want to play into. He want to say, no, that ain't important to me. That's not valuable to me. But why? No. Again, you keep asking the wrong question. What? What are you trying to show me about me? What are you trying to show me about you? Who are you, God? Who are you? You're fully God and you're fully man. You're the Alpha and Omega. You're who you say you are. You are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. No one can come to the Father except by you. And yet we still asking why. At some point it becomes an insult to God. God say, even the fact that you can ask why, I'm long suffering with you. You got the nerve to ask me why, and you know that I'm in charge of everything. And I do everything according to my what? Goodwill and pleasure. We always talk about the breakthrough, and this is leading to my sermon. We always talk about the breakthrough. Y'all love that word. Breakthrough, 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 breakthrough. Y'all love saying the word breakthrough, breakthrough. And again, I get it at some point, but you know God orders your blessings. Y'all say that too. You know God orders my blessings, but God has me, he has me. You say all that too. But have you ever thought about this? Well, God has for you, has for you, so he's ordained your blessing and your test. God has a test for you too. To make the blessing look better. So if he's ordained the conquering, he's ordained the war, the battle. You don't want to say that. I'm blessed because God saw me fit to fight the battle. That's why I got this shirt, biblically fit. We need to become biblically fit and get out of our emotions and our feelings about God.
Okay.
And deal in the reality of who he is. He is an awesome God. And there's no one like him. And the greatest part about it, you are his child. And you are fellow heirs to the throne of grace. So you can come boldly. And you can state what the issue is, but then you thank God for the issue because you can see God in your issue. I saw God in my worst time. He didn't get me out when I wanted to get out. He got me in when he was done with me being in. Amen? Amen. Amen. We're going to have scripture and prayer from Brother Kevin, and we're going to get started. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning, saints.
Good morning.
Come to me, and I will give you rest.
Yes.
This morning, I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 11, starting at verse 25, ESV version. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen.
Amen.
Let's go into prayer. Lord, we are grateful to be gathered here today to worship your holy name. Father, we offer worship and adoration for you are worthy to be praised. We lift our voices, Father, together to offer you all that you are due. Thank you for bringing us together today to worship in this place. Lord, we ask that you bless the speaker and bless the word brought forth today, that it be a lantern to guide our path, and that all we do, we give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hello, this is Pastor Jay, and this is your word of wisdom for today. Somewhere in the country, in the world, there's a service, and the word is what God has for you, he has for you. Hallelujah. But let's put a pin in it. What did God have for Joseph? Well, before he became a prime minister, he had brothers who hated him and were jealous. He had a pit that they were thrown in. He had Potiphar's wife who lied on him. Then he had a prison to which he was ignored. What am I saying? God orders the struggle and he orders the victory. God orders the strife and he orders the overcoming. So when you think about what God has for you, think about what it may take for you to get there. You will have to endure hardness as a good soldier, and you may have to overcome some things, but that's part of the plan of God. So God can get the glory. He orders the pain and the pleasure. He orders the test and the testimony. What God has for you, he has for you, but it's not as simple as you think. This is Pastor Jay. Like, subscribe, and share, and I'll see you on the other side. Peace.
This is the day that
the come on. Lord
y'all do better than
that. The Lord
come on, Kay. Wake up, I say, this is the day.
Amen.
This is the day. This is the day the Lord has made. I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. You know, rejoicing is a choice.
Yes.
Everybody don't rejoice when they wake up. They wake up and start complaining. Ain't God so gracious to let you complain about the day he done made? He sits back and you talk about all that you got to do and all that you got to go through and all this, that, and the other. But God say, this is the day I made.
Yes.
He said, you should be rejoicing and be glad in it. It's a state of mind, saints, that we need to be in. Because you're called by God. This is a continuation from last week of who is sufficient for these things. Turn to your neighbor and say, who is sufficient?
For these things.
Yeah. Ask yourself that question. Are you really sufficient to handle the things of God? No. He has to do something in me and to me. And even those who are called by God tend to understand that they're not sufficient. Even when given an assignment. You take like Jonah, for instance. Jonah was a prophet for God, but he had hatred in his heart. He was a prophet for God, and he was a racist. He didn't think the Ninevites were worthy of salvation. It's interesting as I begin to understand church and the church in America in particular, I see that church became a culture. Church was never meant to be a culture. It's a belief system. It's a system where everybody is welcome, no matter what culture they come from. No matter what city they come from, or no matter what parents they're born under, no matter what kind of education they have, if they have finances or they don't, the system is you need a savior. Whatever your lot in life is, that's what it is. It doesn't change because you come to Christ. Nobody's status changed when they came to Christ in the natural of the culture of the day. Philemon, he was a slave and he stayed a slave. Okay? So sometimes I think we take too much heavy on we want our circumstances to change versus our heart to change. Mm.
Come on.
We want something that we can see, touch, feel, and smell. And we say, well, God, if you give me something I can see, touch, feel, and smell, then I'll follow you and then I'll believe in you. But see, God says, don't you see the sunshine every day?
Yeah. Yes, thank you, Lord.
Don't you see the rain come and go? Don't you see the seasons? There's enough in creation to let you know that there's a God that you need to get to know. But see, we become self-centered. So our theology is self-centered. Our focus on God becomes self-centered, meaning God's supposed to show me by doing stuff for me. Mm. And those who are called fall into that. Because sometimes what happens is once we think we're called of God, whether you're called to preach or not, but just being called by God, everybody seems like they're looking for, I get a pass on life because I'm called by God. Mm-hmm. Well, God, I'm going to do what you tell me to do, but why? Here we go again. Why am I going through? You called me. I've done everything you told me to do, and I'm still in a messed up marriage. Well, why, God, you called me, and I've done everything I'm supposed to do, and my children are still screwed up. Why, God, did you called me, God? So why is I'm not getting promoted on my job? Why are people talking about me? Why am I feeling this way? Why haven't I reconciled with my family and my kids and all? Why? Because I've been called. But that's your thinking.
Yeah.
That's not God's thinking. And as we're walking through the book of Jeremiah, you'll see this. Because I haven't preached on Jeremiah yet because I'm getting to appreciate Jeremiah and the other prophets because Jesus said a prophet is not received in his own hometown. The place you think that you would be received the most, you're rejected the most. So then you ask why you rejected what the Bible said. See, once the Bible said it, I might not like it, but I can understand it. Because he said, let his word be true. So if I'm rejected here, that's nothing to me. If you're rejected in here, if you're rejected by your people, that's nothing. You, God said you would be rejected. So why are you searching for something different than what he said? You want your dreams and aspirations to come true. Being called by God simply means that God is going to use you in a way that benefits him. It may not benefit you at all. That's hard for y'all to hear, ain't it? It may not benefit you at all. It may get worse as you do what God calls you to do. When the devil got you, he don't care nothing about giving you stuff. He don't care nothing about making you materially happy. He don't care about putting 10 cars in your driveway and 10 TVs in your thing because he knows that'll keep you distracted. He don't mind you coming to church if you ain't coming to a church that's teaching the word. He don't mind you singing. The devil is slick. He don't mind you participating in all the outward trappings of religion. But where's your heart? Is your heart circumcised? Why go to Bible study? And? You're supposed to. Why go to church? And? You're supposed to. Why do you think you deserve something extra? And I want you to search your heart. Ask yourself the next time, why do I deserve something extra than what everybody else is going through? What makes me so special? And if you can answer that question and be honest with yourself, you think more of yourself than you should. And the Bible warns us about this. Open up your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 1. And Steve, I want you to read 4 through 10, and then we're going to back up. 4 through 10.
Jeremiah 1, starting at verse 4. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a youth. For to all whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord put on his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant.
Amen. So he sets us. You have the scene. You have Jeremiah, this young man, and all of a sudden he gets a vision from God. And we're going to talk about a few things. We're going to talk about God's calling, God's choosing, man's conundrum, and man's confusion. The first couple of verses start off with him telling us where this man is from. This man is a Benjamite. This man is from Abathoth. This man is from no place special. And he said the word of the Lord came to him. So read verse 4, Steve.
Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying,
keep going.
Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you.
So before the word of the Lord came to him, saying, so this is what the Lord is saying to him. And he said this to you. Before you in your mother's womb, I knew you. God had a relationship with you before you was you. He had a plan to have you here. That was his plan. That was his mission. That was his desire. He's choosing you. And out of choosing you, he's calling you. That's the consecration part. The choice is you. The consecration is the calling. He's calling you. He's saying, you're going to be separate from everybody else that I've chosen because you're going to have a mission that nobody else has. But that don't make you special. That makes you liable. That makes you responsible. That makes you accountable. And it asks the question, are you committed to what he's called you to? And Jeremiah, being a young man, he know it's, and obviously Jeremiah had a relationship with God because he said, the Lord came to me. It wasn't like when Samuel got called, he like, is that you? Who is that? He knew that the Lord had called. He knew that Yahweh had called him. And he said, he called me and he concentrated and he told me things that I could never imagine. Can you imagine if audibly you heard that God knew you, woke you up tomorrow? I know you. I consecrated you. And he told him this. He chose him and he set him apart. He chose him and he called him. And everybody that's a saint of God is called by God. You got the call. You answered the call. He's consecrated you, set you apart. And some of us got set apart at a young age. But again, like I said, it didn't make us special. It just made us accountable to the calling, to the choosing. So when we get this, the response to his was interesting because he said this. He said, oh, I hear you, God, but I'm just a young dude. I don't know how to speak. And see, that's where we get into the confusion. God calls us, then we get concerned about the God that called us. Did he make a mistake? Gideon, did he make a mistake? Because I'm a coward and I'm from the weakest tribe. Does God make mistakes? And that's a natural thing to do. When you're really not prepared for what God has for you, the first thing that goes through your mind is, God, is, do you really want to use me like that? Do you really want to use me? I don't have the credentials that I believe that I should be used. And that's our issue all the time. We've had our imaginations make up these false credentials that don't mean anything to God. So what, you the son of a preacher, daughter of a preacher? That don't mean nothing to God. So what, you done went to theology school? That don't mean nothing to God. God is looking for someone that is teachable, breakable, and can be molded into something. Sometimes I wonder why some of you do really want to know the words of God. Do you really want to be the smartest person in the room, or do you want to edify the body? Do you want people to look at you and admire you? That's Dr. Sutton. He's so smart. What's the point? What's your motivation? And see, your motivation will hinder you or help you. Because if your motivation is not totally the body and his mission and his glory for his people, and it's for yourself and aggrandizement, then what you're doing is you'll be limited in your understanding of the word of God, because he's not going to give it to a selfish person.
All right.
Even though I know all the languages of all men, and even possibly the languages of an angel, and if I don't have what? Love, I don't have anything. Jeremiah had love. His question wasn't about really his self, in the sense of, he's like, Lord, you love your people and I love your people. And I don't think I'm up for the task. I don't think I'm up for the task. I don't think I've learned enough, and I'm too young, and people still are patting me on the head, talking about good boy and go sit down here. But you choosing me to be your spokesperson. And what you're telling me is that I'm not going to preach a prosperity gospel. I'm going to preach judgment. It's kind of interesting that we live in a day where we don't understand that the judgment of God is next. Okay. See, y'all still trying to talk about what's next on God's calendar is he coming back like a lion. That's what he said. The only reason judgment hasn't taken place because you're still here. His ambassadors. We're trying to warn. We're trying to pluck up. We're trying to do everything that Jeremiah did so that maybe God could turn his back and say, you know what? They've repented. But you want to preach them happy before you preach a reason for them to be happy. Amen. You wanted to give them the gospel without the sin. And Jeremiah's told that he's going to do this. Can you imagine a young man being told that you're going to talk to nations and that your message is going to be, you're going to change, you're going to pluck up, you're going to destroy, you're going to do all of that? Nothing good in that. There's nothing shout about in that.
That's right.
But you've been chosen by God. You have to be faithful to the mission, not to the people. So many pastors, so many teachers are so worried about how many people they got. What difference does it make as long as you got one?
Amen.
It ain't work teaching. What you mean it ain't? But hold on. God called you. Then he said nations, right? Nations can be one person from each tribe. It could be somebody in the Gentile nation. And see, we hear stuff like that. We'll take it on and say, see, God, well, I got the Jeremiah in me. Do you really? So there's a call. There's God chooses. And there's a conundrum of the fact that I'm not qualified, or Jeremiah's not qualified. And again, the natural question is, once I do God's word, what do I have coming? What do I have coming? Go to Luke. Luke 17. verses 7 through 10. Let's see some. Let's just walk through scriptures a little bit. Go ahead, Steve. Loud and proud.
Luke 17, starting at 7.
Mm-hmm.
Will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and recline at table? Will he not rather say to him, prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he did what he was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty.
You've only done what you do. You don't get no extra. I'm sorry. Called, chosen, consecrated. You don't get no extra. But I'm doing. You don't get no extra. You're doing what you're supposed to do. You're doing what God has commanded you to do. Why do you think doing what God's commanded you to do is going to make you put in a special position that is different from everybody else? You've done what the calling has called you to do. Be happy in that.
Amen.
You don't deserve extra because you're called. Do what God, feed God first. Do what God told you to do. Do what the master told you to do, and then take care of yourself. But then even in taking care of yourself, then you still say you were unworthy servant to sit at the Lord's table. You don't deserve to sit at the Lord's table. He said you can sit at his table. You're not his friend. He called you his friend. If he didn't call you his friend, you wouldn't be his friend. If he didn't die for you, you wouldn't be saved. If he didn't raise for your justification, you wouldn't be justified. See, it's all in him and not in you. But just because you're called, just because Jeremiah, you're called, you don't get nothing extra. Well, I was young, so. So I have the tongues of angels, so. So I have all wisdom that I can move mountains, so. Move the mountain and still you're unworthy. Because you're supposed to do what God has called you to do, and you should be happy in that.
Yeah.
So you're going to suffer.
Amen.
We did a whole month of learning how to what? Suffer well. Yeah. I need to go back and listen to them sermons. The reason why you don't understand it, because there's a level of godliness in each and every one of us who are saved that teaches us to suffer like our Christ. Yeah. That's the confusion I'm talking about, Pastor Bert. I'm confused. I've been doing this for 15 years and ain't nothing changed. Yes, it has.
That's right.
My love of God, my love for the people, my love for the Word of God.
Amen.
That's changed.
Yes, sir.
I choose to look at the potential of the good in you and not focus on all the negative that I notice in you. Because I know the God that can change that thing. And my good job is to teach you the Word of God so you can let it get to you and cut you like a two-edged sword, coming and going, cutting out all that ugliness and cut out all that dark-heartedness in you,
yeah,
getting into your mind and your imagination,
well,
getting you away from this religiosity that's in you.
Yes, yes, yes.
Thank Stop you from saying stuff that don't have no power at all.
Thank you. Come on, preach that.
There's phrases that y'all say y'all can't find in the Bible. Nowhere. You don't even know where you got it from. You just say stuff. I'm not going to go through it, but y'all do. I'm not going to say the stuff I hear. You still say. Don't get me wrong. We're talking about a sanctification maturity issue now. But things don't change. But you know what can change? You. How can I expect you to change when you don't see no change in me?
Well.
If I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, the first thing I can do is help, is let God change me. It's really about you, but it ain't about you. As much as it about you, it's really the changes for everybody else to see. If you are light, you're not a light for yourself. You're a light for everybody else.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
And then, I noticed something. Jeremiah gets his assignment. From chapter 2, right at the 10, God start telling him what he's going to do, how he's going to do it, many different metaphors, many different ways. He's going to tell Israel that they're sinning, they're idolatry, they committed adultery, they're doing all kinds of things to other nations. All throughout, for the next 11 chapters, he's telling them that. And then all of a sudden, and we're going to get to that next week, he says, God, I did what you told me to do, and they want to kill me. I don't understand. So that lets me know Jeremiah had an expectation like some of y'all have. If I do what God said, everything's supposed to come up roses. And it had to be years of doing what God said, and he reached a point when he found out that his own town had conspired against him to kill him. Because they didn't want to hear no more about this God that's getting ready to punish them.
That's right.
So y'all want to hear that part of the equation. You don't want to hear. You don't want to hear that you're dead in your sins and trespasses.
That's right.
You have to create a necessity for salvation. You want to start at salvation and work your way backwards until they sin. Start at sin so salvation can be so great to them. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, "Unless this seed falls to the ground and dies, it can't produce any fruit." You know he was talking about himself. And he's talking about you, but himself. He said, unless I go to the ground and die, there's not going to be any fruit. I have to die. And even with the genius of Peter, when he said, he asked him, who was he? He had something smart, then he said something dumb. Mm-hmm. You see, you say something dumb out of your flesh. Mm-hmm. He said, you God. And see, God know that, Jesus knew that a flesh and blood didn't tell him that. The Holy Spirit had to reveal that to him. I want you to get into your mind that God is a revelatory God. Yes, you need to study to show yourself approved, but unless you study, there's no need to reveal nothing to you.
That's right.
I don't care how many songs you sing.
Amen.
Why do you want God to reveal something to you don't know his word? You want a relationship with God, void his word. You want a relationship with God based on your imagination. And see, that's what Jeremiah was going through. Jeremiah had gotten his feelings in his imagination. Because he figured, I've been doing this all this time, and Lord, I found out they want to kill me. And Lord, do something about it. Because I'm your servant. Do something about it. But see, under Christ, there is this thing called grace. And it rains on the just and the unjust alike. God was trying to prepare y'all for this time. It's not for you to determine what God going to do next with your issues. It's for you to stay obedient to what God has called you to do.
Amen.
Amen.
The test is, are you going to continue to do what God has told you to do in the midst of your issue?
Yeah.
As we would say, CIA, circumstances, incident, and accidents. Are you going to stay focused on God so much and give God the glory every time that one of them things pop up?
Amen.
Or are you going to shrink back and run like Jeremiah? God, why are you doing this? Why you let this happen to me? Don't you know I'm your boy or your girl? I'm anointed and appointed by God. Everybody listens to me. And God says, so? You still an unworthy servant. You doing what I called you to do.
Yeah.
Nowhere in that read from 6 down to 10 in Jeremiah. Let's see did God say anything about happy times. What'd he say? He gonna make them do.
Then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go.
So, commandment, for to all that I send you, you shall go. Oh, okay, God, that's fine. I can deal with that. Go ahead. What I'm going to do when I get there? Read.
And whatever I command you, you shall speak.
Mm-hmm.
Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord.
Stop. I just said, hold on, Lord. I'm doing what you told me to do, but you just told me something I need to think about. You said, don't be afraid of them. Why should I be afraid of them if I'm carrying your word? Make Jeremiah just a regular person. You just told me you called me. You just told me you consecrated me. And now you're telling me don't be afraid of them, who you sent me to. It ain't supposed to work like that. They're supposed to receive me and be happy that I'm talking the word of God. But Lord, why should I be afraid of them? Let's see, read.
Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant.
To build and to what?
Plant.
Hold on. I heard build and to plant, but I got to pluck up. I got to destroy. No wonder they're going to not like me. But Lord, can I just build and plant? You know, I want to do that, Lord. I just want to build and plant. I don't want to do nothing else. I just want to build and plant. He said, no, that ain't what I want you to do. I want you to knock some stuff down. I want you to kick something over. I want you to start some trouble. But Lord, you know I'm still a youth, right? Lord, say, I think I knew you before you was formed in your mother's womb. I know how old you are.
Amen.
But I've infused you. I've given you power. But Lord, you know, let me just ask you again, Lord. This pluck up. This tear down. These words. Do you understand that with those words, you give me a reason to be afraid? Why don't somebody else do it? I do the building and the planting. I do that part. Let somebody else do that part. You know what? Let somebody who you don't like do that part. But God is no respecter of persons. Do you see the dilemma of us called people? And I ain't talking about just preachers. Just saints of God, this is what you go through.
Amen.
This schizophrenic back and forth with God, like, God, why am I going through this? And what am I going through that I've done? I prayed all. I put the oil on everything. I pleaded the blood over everything. And I'm still going through stuff.
Right.
And God say, and? He going to say, he say, the fact that you can complain, let me know that you're in a position to overcome what I put in front of you. Because
yeah.
It didn't kill you.
That's right.
It should have made you stronger.
Amen.
Well, you say, well, Jeremiah, he's all by himself. Run to Acts. Run the book of Acts. Chapter 9. Verse 15 through 17.
Acts 9, starting at 15. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles, mm-hmm. and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.
He's filled with the Holy Spirit. But did you realize what he told Ananias? This is my chosen vessel. And what I'm going to put in him is going to have to cause him to suffer.
That's right.
I can imagine Paul saying, huh? Why do I have to suffer? Because we're dealing with unsafe folk in the world. You're going to have to suffer through them. But first thing you got to do is get beyond this, because you're called, you're special. You're sent as a messenger. You're not the Messiah. We've elevated our pastors and our preachers and our teachers to a level of adoration and admiration that you should not put on them. You're messing them up with that. I'm not telling you to not tell them they've done a good job, but don't lay it on so thick. You know how I measure that I've done a good job? When I see you change.
That's right.
When I see you become more committed, accountable, and responsible to the things of the Lord. Telling me I did a good sermon and going out and doing what you normally do, that ain't doing me no good. You ain't fooling me either.
Right.
I just smile. Ho heathen. Po heathen. But Paul is giving this assignment. And we know who Paul was. Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was on his mission. His mission from the people was, go get them Christians and bring them back so I can persecute them. Go get them Christians so we can hang them and kill them. Go get them Christians because that's what God wants us to do. And then when they met Jesus, Jesus said, you're kicking against me.
All right.
And because you're kicking against me so I can get the glory, you're the perfect person that's going to go back. Is now you're going to teach my word to the people that you hated. Isn't that something about God? He'll throw you right back in the place where he had delivered you from for a moment, and then he'll say, now teach them.
Amen.
Show them.
Yeah.
But Lord, they hated me. Show them. Lord, they want to kill me. Show them. Lord, they talk about me. Show them.
Amen.
But Lord, I'm anointed and appointed. So? Quit telling people they're anointed too. Mm-hmm. You so anointed. What does that mean? We just say stuff. We're so anointed. Am I more anointed than you? Are you more anointed than me? Just because I have a mission? You got the same commission that I got. Go out to the world, make disciples of all nations.
Spread the gospel.
You don't get away from that because you're not a pastor or a preacher or evangelist or none of fivefold. Then you still got that responsibility hanging on you. He's going to judge you based on that.
That's right.
Did you tell anybody about me?
That's right.
Or did you just go to church?
Wow.
Out of all that good air you breathed and all them chicken wings you done ate. Out of all revivals you done been to, plus delivery services, did you take the time to walk across the yard and tell your neighbor about me?
I don't mean to be so technical,
but it's real.
That's right.
Because some of us are still punching the clock and we're pretending like we're not. But he said how much he's going to suffer for my sake. And see what God said, his word is true, right? Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Let's see how true his word is with Paul. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. Read, Steve.
2 Corinthians 4, starting at 8. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our bodies. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our mortal flesh.
So in other words, let me break it down to you real simple. You're being persecuted, but you're not being destroyed, and it's all for the sake of Jesus, and you wear the stripes on your body. Paul wore the stripes on his body. He got beaten. He got shipwrecked. He got bitten by snakes. People chased him out of town. They had to lower him down in a basket. And you know what for? Not because he went to church. Not because he went to synagogue. Because he preached the gospel. The people that he came to set free didn't want to hear that because they wanted to hold on to their religion. So many people want to hold on to their religion, what the pastor then told them. But it ain't even biblical. It don't got nothing to do with the word of God. It has something to do with manipulation.
Amen.
You still worried about tithing. Why? Do you think that, do you really believe that your fake 10% done something for God? And this is what I mean by that. The tithing system was more than just 10%. It wasn't even income for real. It was grain. It was cattle. It was things that you could put in the storehouse for a case of famine. And then you had the tenth that went to the Levites. It was about a 40% tax. Ain't nobody up here giving no 40%.
Well,
you come to Christ, he said, free will offering. Even back in the Old Testament, I saw it. Free will offering. That means you give out of your heart.
That's right.
1%, 2%, 10%, 20%, 30%. But as long as it's from your heart, God say, I like it that way. No, you don't. He's our first fruit. It tells us Jesus is the firstborn. He is our first fruit. He is the offering up to God. Think about it. He's the sacrificial lamb and the first fruit. And the blessings of the first fruit comes through him. But when you're chosen, you believe that saying these things and taking people back to what has passed is the way to motivate people to do anything. I want to set you free. But freedom comes with a cost. It cost on the cross for him, that freedom. He wasn't free. He said, not my will, but thy will be done. Paul had to learn, not my will, but thy will be done. And what happens to those of us who are called and those of us who are in this thing, we understand our mortal bodies is nothing because it's all for the what? Sake of Jesus. Amen. That's what he said. He said, no matter what I go through, I'm focused on the mission. Because, read Romans 8:18. Because you don't know. Go ahead.
Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us.
Can you really say that and mean that? That's what you're striving to get to be able to say. That's right. The sufferings of what time? Not yesterday, but what? Right now, present time. That's right. That's immediate time. Right where you're sitting, some of you are suffering. And he's saying, do you understand what you got ahead of you? If you just hang on. If you just trust me. If you just hang in there. I promise I'm going to deliver you. Well, Lord, I understand what you mean by you going to deliver me, but can you tell me how that look? Let me write down, Lord, how I want to be delivered. I want everything to go right. I want more money in my bank account. I want a new house. I want a new car. And Lord, I want my children to be correct. If I follow you, can you deliver me? Here's my list, Lord. And the Lord says, I can. But it's something about you not having all these things that got you before me. So my delivery comes in a sense of you'll endure and make it through. Mm-hmm. We'll make it through what, Lord? Mm-hmm. You better read your Bible because it's nothing. What you're going through now is nothing compared to what I got for you. Right. When you cross over. Mm-hmm. See, when you cross over, what you wanted over here, I'm going to give you over there in eternity. I'm going to give you a mansion. I'm going to prepare a table for you. I'm going to sit you in heavenly places. And I'm going to give you a glorified body. So which one would you rather for me to do? Give you this or give you what you want? Well, Lord, can we negotiate? No, that's non-negotiable.
That's right.
You can either understand that you will survive your sufferings by glorifying me in it and receive what I have for you, the adoption, the forgiveness, the remission of sin, the treasure, the sealed Holy Spirit, Ephesians chapter 1, that's what you get when you come to the Lord. Anybody else tell you any different, they lying to you.
Right.
That's what I can guarantee you guys. I can't guarantee you superficial stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it ain't going to happen to you. I'm not going to tell you that. What I'll tell you is that it's not the Lord's focus. That's your focus. Mm-hmm. You focus on temporal things.
Right.
My job is to talk about eternal things. You focus on the here and now. I'm focused on the here and now. As long as you do what's here and now to get you over there. Yeah, I feel sorry when you hurt. We all hurt when you hurt. But I understand the purpose of pain. Because only through the purpose of pain can I see the power of God.
Right.
Jesus went to the cross with pain and rose up in power.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus went to the cross being violated, but he rose up in what? Victory. I believe that those of us who are called to be Christians, we're on that same course.
Yes.
So we don't ask why. We say, God, thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you that you ordained the test and the triumph. Thank you that you ordered the struggle for me today. Because you know, Lord, you knew me before I was born in my mother's womb. You consecrated me to talk to people. Everybody has the Jeremiah calling on them because he said, talk to nations. Who was your commission to? To the nations of this world. And Jesus said, if you put your hand to this plow, you got a choice. And don't look back. If you look, and look back, you're not fit for the kingdom. Why aren't you fit for the kingdom? Because you chose to concentrate on the temporal versus looking into the light of the eternal. You chose to focus on what you're going through to where you're going. Amen. Saints, we have to go further in maturity. We've been at this in this body for 9 years. And some of you have matured beyond my imagination. Because I realize it's God doing it in you.
Amen.
And all I can do is encourage you. And we all have to get to the point where we're going to say this. Go to Psalms, chapter 15, verse 5 through 8. Amen. Let's see if you can say this. And please study this. This passage right here. Out of all the passages, I want you to study this passage. Read.
Psalm 16, starting at 5.
16, I'm sorry, he writes. 16. 16, 5 through 8.
The Lord is my chosen portion.
The Lord is my chosen portion. He chooses you, and he becomes what? Your portion. That's what you got coming, saints.
Amen.
The Lord is my chosen portion. Not this world, not the things, the thing of value, him. The Lord is my chosen portion. And what?
And my cup.
And my cup. Keep reading.
You hold my lot.
Mm-hmm.
The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken.
Amen.
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 The, the Lord is my portion, and I shall not be shaken.
That's right.
Why did he say that? Because the shake is coming. The world's going to shake you.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's going to try.
That's right.
But the Lord is my portion.
Thank you, Lord. Thank
I won't be shaken.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Lord is my portion.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be moved.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord is my portion. And he is my cup. The Lord is my portion. And he's my water. He's my bread of life.
Mm-hmm.
He's my power of the resurrection. The Lord is my portion. See, I don't understand you. I'm ready to run around this church for real because you know what? The Lord is my portion. See, some of y'all are still pondering that. And that's working in your mind. And I ain't expecting you to feel what I feel. But you know what? The Lord is my portion. I shall not be moved. See, you got to, now you want to decree and declare something? Decree and declare that. The Lord is my portion. The devil is a lie.
Amen.
Yes.
The Lord is my portion. I don't care what they say about me.
Right. Come on.
The Lord is my portion. The Lord is my shepherd.
Yes.
Yes. He making me to lie down in green pastures.
Yes.
He leading me beside still water.
Thank
he
you.
Prepares a table before my
yes.
enemies. And he anoints my head with oil. The Lord is my portion.
Amen.
I'm not confused anymore, Pastor Purdy. I know who I am. I know who I'm with. I'm with the Lord. I don't care what you say. I'm in it for the long haul.
That's right.
This is not no sprint. This is a marathon.
Well,
this is not here today and gone tomorrow. Based upon what I go through, I'm in it to win it. I'm in it with the Lord. If they did it to him, they're going to do it to you. Why you keep trying to get away from getting done to you? Because what's being done to you is changing you.
Amen. Amen.
Your suffering is building the character to carry his word into dark places.
Preach.
Saints folding up like $2 bills crying all the time. And then you come in and talk about victory is mine, victory is mine.
Say it,
Pastor. Live it. Quit talking. Like we used to say, be about it.
That's right.
Don't talk about it, be about it.
Well,
what did Jesus say when he was left back at the temple? When they left him, he said, I must be about my Father's business. I'm about my Father's business. I hope you're about your Father's business. Now I'm not confused. I'm confident.
That's right.
So we go from the calling to the confusion. Now I'm confident. Because what God has said is true. And Jeremiah had to get to that point. When you read 11 and 12, God answers Jeremiah's complaint. I'm going to let you read that on your own. He tells him, he say, okay, so if you can't go through the water, how you going to make it through the mud? I'm just using my paraphrase. I worked in my mind. You worried about the water. And I'm going to see you through the mud. I got stuff to, if you think it's bad now, it ain't over. He said, hey, I told you back in chapter 1, 30 years ago, that I'll always be with you. So what, they slap you around a little bit? You still here?
Yeah. That's right.
So what I told you, he told Jeremiah, you know he told Jeremiah, it's going to be so bad, so don't get married and don't have any children. What if God told you, don't get married? Your word going to be so strong that everybody going to hate you, and I'm going to pour out judgment once you're done. Don't have no children because they'll be stuck in the judgment. Your wife will be stuck in the judgment.
Wow.
And you know, this is what I will tell you, saints. The men and women of God are not above the judgment of God.
That's right.
Sometimes, and oftentimes what I see, Moses didn't make it into the promised land. Joshua said him and his house only was going to serve the Lord because he knew.
Tell it, Pastor.
Peter, with his smart self, always put his foot in his mouth, denied the Lord three times. See, this is the issue. God is going to be glorified whether you do or don't. It's not up to you. You don't hold God's glory up for hostage on your behavior. But wouldn't it be better for you just to do what God has called you to do and do what he tell you to do?
Amen.
Wouldn't that make you happy?
Yes.
Regardless of how things change in your life, in the natural, aren't you secure that you're going to be with the Lord when you close your eyes? No more pain, no more bills, no more nothing. Just the Lord in you and your other brothers and sisters. It's about a relationship and it's about a thought process. The culture of church is something that's really not real. The culture of church is the people who believe. And the people who believe come from many different cultures. But we all believe in one thing. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, our Redeemer, died on the cross for us that we may be saved. And he justified us with his blood. And he cleansed us. And he gave us the right to come before God. He reconnected us. He's our high priest.
Amen.
He's our prophet. He's our brother. He's also our God.
Amen.
And we thank him for what he's done for us.
Yes.
So when I'm called, confused, I need to get in his word and become biblically fit so I can be confident. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your people. Continue to look after us as we go forward in faith. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you guys for tuning in around the world. We always want you to be encouraged, blessed, and peace, and do what?
Walk in truth.
Amen. All right.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast. We hope that you have been edified and strengthened in your walk and your knowledge of God. Please look in the description box for a contact information and opportunities to partner with us with a donation. We always want you to be encouraged, blessed, and at peace, and remember to walk in the truth of the Lord.